Then we talked about prayer. Pastor Jared preached on prayer, that this is a house of prayer. And you need to pray for one another and for your pastor. And then I preached on serve. When you get saved, you get a gift. And we can talk about how everybody has different talents, but what makes you love the Lord and love others? What really makes you do that is what your gift is. Because your whole life is about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. What makes you do that the most in the service of God is your gift. And then we talked about proclaim. Hey, you want to really where the rubber hits the road. If you believe what you say you believe, you should proclaim it. You should tell someone else about it. I was out hiking this week, not the best week to hike. And I come off the mountain into the flats, and it was just a mud hole. And I'm walking going, man, I have a good mile of mud when a Jeep comes up behind me. Oh, raw, raw, big old tires on it. And I'm like, oh, be kind. And the guy rolls down the window thinking I'm stuck. I've left my rig someplace. And he goes, you stuck? I said, well, kind of. My truck's down there. You got an extra spot in there? I carry a big hog leg. He didn't care about that. He said, hop on in here. He's a Nevada boy. And I got in there, and his name was Greg. And I said, Greg, thanks so much. You saved me a lot of time and mess. And he drove, and as we were driving, and I said, we began to talk. He says, well, I think everything happens for a reason. I said, I do too. That's a good segue, isn't it? I was like, oh, yeah. I said, what do you think the purpose of all this, me driving in your truck for? He says, for you to thank me. I said, thank you, Greg. Now, let me ask you, Greg, do you know the Lord? Whoa. Yeah, he says, I used to. I said, why don't you now? Well, there's just so many hypocrites. I said, oh, Greg, are you going to let a few hypocrites keep you from serving the Lord that loves you? Well, Mark, it's time for you to get out of the car now. It was about that much. But I bet you this week when I was praying for Greg, he can't get rid of that. He can't get past what I said. And he knows where I'm at. You see, we got to proclaim the Lord to a lost and dying world. Last week, I gave Pastor Jared the best sermon ever. You preach on giving. He did a great job. I just really appreciated it. And you know, when I became a Christian, God convinced me that everything I had was His. And it's just not a big deal for me to give 10% of my income, at a minimum, to the Lord. Some people call that legalistic. I don't. I believe I'm just going to obey the Lord and try Him. The Lord's kept me so well. He's never failed me. Indeed, I could test Him, and He's blessed me. And so we finish this sermon series. And the last thing that God expects you to do is pursue Him. The pursuit of Christ-likeness. A Christian means little Christ. And we're to pursue Christ. And when you start thinking about subjects like the pursuit of Christ, there are so many scriptures that I can take you to. I had a hard time with that. I've had a hard time with this whole sermon series on which scripture to pick, because there's so many. But there is one place in the scripture where Jesus literally said, okay, did you see what I just did? Now you do it. It only happens really once. There's several other places it's inferred. But the one place is when Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. And we see Christ's likeness and we see humility and the need for it in our life as Christians. Because to be really frank with you, we have a hard time with humility. We see it in the news a lot. But the pride is killing people. I don't know if you know the name Tracy Bailey. Tracy Bailey was a young man. He was a junior in high school in Central Florida when he was a big star in the in the wrestling field. His coach was a very proudful man, said never bow to nobody, never admit you're wrong, none of that. He just took that on as his life message. And when he was a junior in high school, he thought it'd be funny. He went out and got drunk with his buddies, and where they were driving around drunk, and they came to their high school and broke into it in the middle of the night and just vandalized the place. Caused thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage, and they got caught. And he stood before a judge on a first offense. It was a felony. And he stood there all smug and proud at 16, 17 years old. And he said, yeah, judge, I did it, whatever. And the judge went, whatever. Gave him 5 years in the youth detention center in Florida, which is just a little step up from the state penitentiary. And he smugly walked out of court thinking he had everything under control. When Tracy Bailey was about 3 months into his jail sentence and he was in solitary confinement because of his prideful attitude, and he looked around and there was just a cot and a toilet and a sink and a blanket, he broke. He says, maybe I don't have everything figured out. I think every kid has to come to this, hopefully not this way. And so Tracy Bailey bowed right then and asked God to help him. He would go to a Bible study and 2 weeks later would come to faith in Christ at 17 years old. He said that I bowed before the Lord humbly and tasted victory. 12 years later, he would tell this story in front of the President of the United States as he was awarded the National Teacher of the Year in Florida. You see, when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. We need humility so bad. And Christ has to show us what it is. And he says to imitate me. And there's a difference between imitation and imitate. I hate imitation mayonnaise. I like the real stuff. Because imitation mayonnaise is fake mayonnaise. And it's cheap mayonnaise. And it tastes like it. And I don't like imitation leather either. It's cheap. It's not tough. And I don't like an imitation Jesus. It's fake and it's man-made. And it costs me very little. Just like the mayonnaise and the fake leather. But when we imitate Christ, it's going to cost you. And it's going to be real. And Christ is calling us out for a real life in imitating him. And so as we look at this, we're going to see that Christ is calling this church out to imitate him here. Would you stand with me as we read John, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 17, as we see an incredible play played out. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that. And during supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken the garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Lord, would you open our hearts? Lord, we need your washing. We need you in our life. We need to humble ourselves. Oh God, give us humility. May we do it willfully and not under pressure. May we do it lovingly and not out of duty. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I must move quickly here, but what was Jesus trying to teach us in the simple act of washing his disciples' feet? What are we going to learn here? And there's quite a few lessons to learn, and I don't have much time, but I want to cover a few of them. And I think the first one, the number one example, the one that I think we should take from here, number one, is he did it because he loved them. He did it because he loved them to the end, it says. If you look that up in the Greek, it means he loved them perfectly. He loves them like no one can love you. Jesus loves you like the same yesterday as he is today, and he'll love you all the way into eternity. This is the kind of love that Jesus has for us. In fact, the Bible says nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. We are most fortunate and blessed to have a Savior like this that loves us and will love you to the end. I don't know what kind of week you had. I don't know what kind of sins you did, but Jesus still loves you the same as he did the week before. He's never going to change. He says, I changeth not. And if he loves you now, he always has loved you. And he's going to love you to the end. And this love is compelling. And it's amazing. And it changes our life. And it causes us to follow Christ because there's no one like him that would love us like this. Well, I have been enjoying reading the life story of Billy Sunday. Born in 1862 during the Civil War. His daddy would die when he was 4 months old, never met him. He would die in the Civil War. And Billy Sunday would go on and live in an orphanage at one point. His mother, his dear mother, would read the Bible to him and witness to him, and they were poor. I mean poor. And he finally had a chance to play in baseball. He was so phenomenally fast. If there was one characteristic about him, Aaron, that was incredible about baseball, was he could beat by 15 paces anybody on the Chicago team to first base. He was so fast. And he was scouted, and he became a National League baseball player. He was living a life outside of Christ. He had never come to Christ. He had heard his mother preach to him and teach him. And she was a loving woman, and he held a sweet part in his life, but he had left the faith. And he was in a saloon with his four buddies. Some of them are in the Hall of Fame. In 1888, in downtown Chicago, on a Saturday afternoon after a game, him and his four friends went into a saloon and just got hammered. And they came back out, as their tradition. They just sat on the curb to watch everything go by as the YMCA band, the local gospel band, was coming by playing hymns that stirred his heart. And he remembered his mother and the words in the hymns. And he began to go, oh, Jesus loves me. here, half snookered on the curb in Chicago, he stands up and looks to his buddies and goes, "Friends, I'm leaving you. I'm going to Jesus." And he marched with them and went down to the YMCA. And 2 weeks later, he came to faith in Christ and changed America. The life of Billy Sunday. You see, love pulls us to Christ. That he would get down on his knees and wash my feet out of love is amazing. Number two reason, which most everybody knows and which probably every preacher would start with, was it was an example of humility. This wasn't just anybody bowing down and washing someone's foot. This is the God-man, the incarnate, Jesus, the God in the flesh, sent from heaven, ruler and creator of all things, who did Christophanies and spoke to Abraham and other patriarchs in the Old Testament, now comes in the form of a human to die for us, and he gets down on his knees, the creator, to clean the feet of his creation is amazing humility. It's not supposed to go this way, and Peter knows it. But out of humility, he has absolutely no problem showing this kind of humility. The Bible tells us the danger of pride. Over and over again. Time would fail me today to just read to you all, but let me read a few of them. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It says not to put a novice into leadership in a church, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. John, the 5th chapter, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Proverbs 16, 19. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And then what a difference the humble are mentioned in the Bible. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Matthew, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, Jesus said, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 23, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. These are great examples of how our Lord would humble himself and how he's calling us to humility to wash another's feet. We will never see another exercise of this much humility until a few days later when Jesus crawls up on a cross, the God-man, and humbles himself even unto death. Philippians says, it says this, and being found in fashion as a man, the God-man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. How many illustrations do we need to have of being pursuing Christ's likeness that we have to finally say, hey, I think I need to be humble. I think humility's got to be there. And this pride has to go. And we're not good at it, church. In our day, in our church, and in the world, and in just watch the news, we refuse to humble ourselves to anyone. We put ourselves first, our needs, our wants, our way, our money, our time, our influence. They're mine, 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 mine. I remember Joel when he was a little bitty baby. When he wanted something, couldn't talk, he would do this. He would see a piece of cake. And it just, this was such a huge picture of mine, mine, mine. Just our nature. And that's how we are, and we don't grow out of it. What we get is we get in the way of God and what he's doing. And when was the last time you imitated Christ and put yourself last? Someone else first, you know, wash their feet. In whatever context that might be. Like in your marriage. Say, hey, you know what? I think I need to wash my wife's feet today. What I mean by that is not literally wash her feet, but I think it's about her today. I think it's really, she's having a tough time. It's going to be about her today, not me, my needs. How about for your children? How about for your parents? How about in your family? You know, most of my counseling would be over with if we did that. I wouldn't have family counseling anymore. And I wouldn't have any marriage to worry about because everybody would just be serving one another. How about your work? How about actually giving a full 8 hours and really serving your boss? I don't care if he's a jerk or not. I don't care who he is, but just serve him and you'll find out he's not a jerk. Not to you anyway. That he'll go, wow, this guy respects me. He honors my position as his employer. How about your church? The Bible says you're supposed to make my job easy. It does. It says it in the Bible. You're supposed to do your best you can to make it easy for me to serve the Lord here. And by the way, you did a great job. I just want you to know, most of you. I mean, just decent. That was not necessary. When are we going to learn? We got to serve one another. And once you do it, you love it. Hey, I must close. The greatest necessity we have is being cleansed by the Lord. We need this foot washing. We need it so badly. One of the reasons we don't humble ourselves and step up to the expectation of what Christ is asking is we've never been our feet washed by Jesus. Hey, when Jesus washes your feet, there's nothing you will not do for him or for somebody else. It'll bring you to your knees in humility. Notice that Jesus is making a separation here in the scripture between being clean in the spirit and being clean in the world. This is a very theological point you must get. You see, Jesus comes up to Peter and says, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. You're going to wash my feet? Yes, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. Oh, you're not washing my feet. I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're not washing my feet. And he says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. He went, whoa. In Peter fashion, well, then wash my hands and my face. They're showing also. He says, no. Peter, you're clean all over, but your feet, where they've been walking, it's dirty. I need to clean them. Now, let me just make it clear to you. What he's saying is, Peter, you've come to faith in Christ. You know me. You're saved. I got you. Your heart's clean. But your daily living in this world gets you dirty. And I need to clean your feet. And I need to clean it, and I need to clean it, not you. You can't clean your own feet. Only I can. You see, we're Christians. If you're a believer on the Lord Jesus today, I want you to know you're saved and always saved. You can find it right there. But this walking through this world gets kind of dirty, doesn't it? And we can get soiled up. And we need Christ. And if we leave ourselves unattended and uncleansed, we're going to fall apart like a house. You seen a house? Unattended. Sits. You know, we've had this big crisis. Now it's coming back where houses, and you start walking, homes have been sitting for 10 years. Yeah. You think it'd be the same house. Just no one's gone in it. No one's come out. They shut the water off. And the thing's a wreck. Because of just time. That's how your life can be. It can be a wreck. And so we got to give up this self-pride and allow Christ to wash our feet. I think if I asked, you know, if I asked someone to come up here and I could wash their feet. You know, I thought about this all week. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll ask Fred. Fred, a number between 1 and 20.
13.
All right. Joel, a number between 1 and 2. Did you pick one? Okay, you pick one. This is one. That's two side of the building. 13. And that would be 13. But I think fear would grip the church. Because I have an idea. I think it would be easier for Ann Mulkey to come up here and wash my feet for me to let her wash her feet. In fact, I think you would rather wash my feet than for me to wash your feet. And I think there's a reason for it. Let me tell you something about your feet. They're some of the most neglected parts of your body. Your feet, you'll get a little bump or something, you'll slap a Band-Aid on there, throw a sock on, and get on your shoes and leave. You would not do that to your face. But you do it to your feet. You know what? There's a few issues you have with your feet. One is, y'all got ugly feet. They're not pretty like mine. Some of you have seen my feet quite a bit. Hey, we got ugly. You got the big old fungus cat thing on the toenail. You know, it's about yay thick. Your toes are all crooked. You got some athlete's foot hanging around the toes and itchy spots and red spots and big old calluses. And you don't want to expose that. Some of you would be terrified if I said, come on up here, I'm going to wash your feet in front of the whole church. No, you're not. You don't want that exposure. Number two, you know what else? Your feet stink. Your feet are smelly. You walk around the dirt, you walk around, you get sweaty feet, and then you wear the same sock twice. What's wrong with you? And I might be preaching to myself here. And your feet smell. And some people have a hard time controlling that odor. You know, the stinkiest feet are little boys. My little boys, when they were little boys, I'd go in their room to pick up their socks. They'd run from me. They stunk so bad. The socks, not the kids. But, you know, and to come up here and I open up your shoe and sock and smell the aroma would embarrass you. Now, something else about your feet, they're a private matter. You know, other than a doctor or a podiatrist, only the family touched my feet. I, just so you know, I don't invite Jared Reed over to rub my feet. That's just a little weird. That's, you know, if someone's messing with my feet, they better be fairly close to me. John Mark's the best. He rubs good foot rubber. I love my feet rubbed. But not everybody, not from everybody. You know, fourthly, when I get my feet rubbed and I have someone look at my feet, my vulnerability drops. I begin to have a conversation. And it's so personal that I relax. See, these are all the reasons why you need Jesus to wash your feet. You need some exposure from just you and Jesus. You got some things about your feet that aren't right. You have something stinking in your life. And only Jesus can wash it away. You think it's a private matter, but it's not. It's between you and Jesus. And it's always going to be until you come clean on it. And say, okay, that's between me and Jesus. And you need to drop your guard, man. You need to just allow Jesus to have a communion with him. You know, the pursuit of Christ is the pursuit of Christ. So could you close your eyes for a moment? And just think, what would it be like? What would it be like if Christ washed my feet? I mean, really, not just anybody, but Jesus Christ washes my feet. I think we would be humbled beyond description. And maybe it would go something like this. Lift your eyes.
Mark, I'm here to wash your feet.
Wow, Jesus... I did not expect for you to wash my feet today. I mean, I was going to have, like, maybe do it later sometime.
No, I'm here. Let me wash your feet.
Well, okay.
That's right. Just sit down. Take off your shoes. It's okay. Mark, you know, you can learn a lot about someone by their feet.
Yeah, I bet.
Oftentimes, people pay little attention to them, but your feet take you every place you go. And every place you go leaves a little bit on you.
Yeah. I know this, Jesus. I know. I figured you would ask me sometime.
You know, Mark, I look down there and I see the stains on your feet. Maybe from a path I called you not to go?
Oh, yeah. Jesus, I know. I've been trying to wash these off. And I scrub and I scrub. And they won't come off.
Well, Mark, tell me, have you been walking in places I told you not to walk?
No, Jesus. I'm sorry. But I've been places I shouldn't be. I've done things I shouldn't do. I've said things I shouldn't say. And these stains, they just keep reminding me every day of what I've done and how I've sinned against you, Jesus. This is why I didn't want you to wash my feet at all. You would see it.
Mark, I have saved you. And I love you, and I always will love you. But you cannot clean your own stains away. Only I can do that. Tell me, are you sorry, and will you turn from those sins, Mark?
Oh, Jesus, I do. I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? Would you wash them away?
Mark, I am faithful, and I am just to cleanse you from your sins and from all unrighteousness. Yes. Let me wash these stains off of your feet, Mark. They will be gone forever, as far as the east is from the west.
Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that better?
Oh, it is, Jesus, thank you.
Now, Mark, I see you have a sore on the top of your foot that is not healed.
Yeah, I know. I keep picking at it, and it just won't heal.
Well, tell me, Mark, I want to hear. What happened?
Someone stepped on it. And it hurt me. And they did it on purpose. And I keep putting and picking at it, and every time I think of them, I pick at it. And it keeps me remembering what they've done to me. And so far, it's not been working too well. It's not been healing.
Mark, you can't keep doing this. It's going to get infected and run up your leg. It's going to infect the rest of your body. It will be the death of you. You must forgive this person.
No. But they hurt me, Jesus. They hurt me so much. I don't know. You don't understand how it feels to have your foot hurt.
I don't understand, Mark. I do know how it feels to have my foot pierced.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, Jesus. I forget your feet were wounded on a cross. Who did that?
Well, Mark, believe it or not, you did.
I did?
Yes. Mark, you did. All your sins and the sins of the world did this by putting me on that cross where my feet and my hands were pierced. And Mark, I have forgiven you. And yet you will not forgive someone else of an offense? Mark, I did not forgive you so you could walk around and be unforgiving to others.
I know, Jesus. Jesus, how do I do this forgiving thing?
That's an excellent question. Mark, just love them like I have loved you. Make a decision right now to love them like I have loved you. And count it a privilege that you can have the fellowship of suffering with me. And then, Mark, let it go. And sooner than you think, this will heal up.
Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me for all my sins. The sins I've sinned against you are so much greater than the sins I have been done to me. There. I will let it go. I will love them as they are.
Good, Mark. Now, I'm noticing also that there are some large calluses on your feet. Why are they so hard?
Well, really, Jesus, they're from pacing back and forth. Worry, fretting over things. I cannot seem to stop. It's running me so very weary.
Mark, tell me, what are you worrying about?
I mean, well, there's many things that seem to really hang over my head. Like, who's going to take care of me when I'm old? Like, what if my spouse dies before I, and how will I handle this kind of loneliness? My health seems to be kind of failing recently. I fear that I might get very ill. And then what? And then there's the daily struggle with hurting relationships and kids and school and the monthly bills and the busy schedule we have. It's all very weary, Jesus.
Mark, listen to me. Just lay back. Relax. Let me rub your feet. Turn over all of those weary thoughts to me and enjoy my comfort.
Oh, Jesus, that feels good to have you soothe my weary feet. It's as if I have, well, no worries at all as long as I have you.
Mark, I know that if you would just come to me and let me soothe your weary feet every day. Give your anxious thoughts to me. You would find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this running from here to there, these calluses, they would stop. And you would just be still. You would know that I am God.
Jesus, that sounds so good. I don't know why I have not come to you more in my weariness. These crimson stains have, well, they've kept me back so much from peace.
Well, Mark, your feet look so much better with just a little washing from your Savior.
Yeah. They sure do, Jesus. Thank you. I want to praise you. I want to thank you for loving me and your forgiveness and your power in my life. I am indeed the most blessed man. Church, that's getting your feet cleaned by Jesus. And it's going to be awkward. And it's going to be exposure. And it's probably for some of you, the biggest need you have more than the breath that you have in your lungs right now. You need this. And our pursuit of Christ must start not in doing, but in being with Christ. Are you pursuing Christ? As you saw the play go out, could you put names to it? Could you put feelings and worries to it? Hey, until we get right with Jesus, we can't pursue anything of Jesus.